Hello. Welcome to the Spiritual Gifts Podcast, an in-depth look at spiritual gifts and more by Barry Carroll. For more than 30 years, Barry has been passionate about spiritual gifts and has helped thousands of people discover their spiritual place in the church and community. We do not want anyone ignorant of what spiritual gifts can do in the church, and he is eager to share this message with you. Coming to you from sunny Florida, your host, Barry Carroll.
Good day to everybody, and welcome back to the Spiritual Gifts Podcast. I want to give you some news that has excited me and hopefully will excite you. If you go to our website, spiritualgiftspodcast.com, you will see there is a new page, and it's called Library. Something that God has done with me over the last 3 or 4 weeks, and back some years, but specifically the last 2 weeks, is this issue that my heart has been pricked by God regarding spiritual gifts. And it's been over 30 years ago that that started. And sometimes I feel like I'm the only person out there, and I'm wondering why is that. But God has shown me in the last 2 weeks a number of people who've written books, who speak about it. What God put on my heart is the website, Spiritual Gifts Podcast, is now going to change. It's going to be a collection of everything that everybody has written, everybody who talks about it, and I'm going to start interviewing all these people. And if we can find at least one person from every state, then that's exactly what we will do. I want you to help me. Do you know anybody in your life that there was someone who tended to be interested in spiritual gifts and talked about it a lot and tried to get other people involved, anything of that nature? I ask you to email me at hello@spiritualgiftspodcast.com. Then I will actually contact those people and start investigating them to see if they have a book or if they have a YouTube video, these kind of things. But I believe God is doing something right now. We live in a world that's has a lot of issues, and I believe, and maybe God's put this in my heart, at least I hope God has, that spiritual gifts may be a solution to bring revival and to bring fulfillment to people everywhere in this country. Let's move on to our fifth podcast. This one has to do with the history. You know some of the history already from the previous podcasts, but this one's going to bring it into focus. And this one and the next podcast, so that we can really understand what the history and why I am talking about it with you today. And it all begins back when God introduced himself to Adam and Eve, and then comes to earth in human form as the Savior Jesus, right? And think about it. Jesus was perfect. He was beautiful. He was a humble and kind and caring. He was patient, loving, and peaceful. Still, the established religious rulers of the day wanted to get rid of Jesus because they were envious of him and evil. The religious rulers temporarily got their way, crucifying Jesus. Yeah, sure. But still, he rose from the dead as Lord of all and presented the Holy Spirit who dwelled inside the disciples first, then every follower of Christ after, including you and me. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is inside of us and has power. Instead of just one God and one Savior, everyone who repents and is saved becomes a vessel for the Holy Spirit to dwell, equipping that vessel, again, you and me, with special abilities to share with fellow believers and sometimes non-believers to present the saving grace of our Lord. We glorify, and remember we talked about glorify, about positive attention. We bring positive attention toward God in that process. But wait, that's not all. Remember those commercials? But wait, that's not all. When you exercise the spiritual gift, you will experience incredible personal fulfillment like you've never received before. You will understand the privilege it is to serve others through the gifts God has given you. To achieve and experience all this, we must self-discover and discern the gifts the Holy Spirit has placed in us. When you find this groove in your life, it will be the second greatest day of your life. And why is that? It is because you will be centered in God's will for your life, and that will be the motivation and personal fulfillment you will achieve for the rest of your life. The Holy Spirit is multiplied dramatically through each of us, followers, giving God the ability to cause us to change the world through Christ. And P.S., don't you think our world needs that right now? This whole story of spiritual gifts starts in Acts 1:3, and it says there, during the 40 days after he suffered and died, after Jesus suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. So this is when he died. He rose again. He was on earth for 40 days, and he appeared to the apostles from time to time. Isn't that interesting? Anyway, he appeared to them from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. He proved to them he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once, when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, get this, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" Isn't that interesting? They'd been with him for all those years, those 3 years or so. He dies. He comes back to life. They experience that by seeing him from time to time. And they ask him, "Has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Well, we're at the ends of the earth here now. And so it includes us. So let's read that again. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, and this is incredible, after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. Just that fast, the entire issue of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gift aspect of it, right there, that's how it all began, in just a moment. So, we have 3 points that we want to make today. Point number one is, Jesus puts the Holy Spirit inside its followers. Now, again, this is kind of somewhat of a review of earlier podcasts, but we're taking it straight out of Acts, the chapters 1 through 6. And in 1.4, it says, "And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability." Acts 2:17 says, "In the last days," and we're in the last days right now, as Paul was when this was written. Acts 2:17, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people." That's you and me again. Miracles, healings, giving of mercy, evangelism. That's what began to happen. I would call it crowd building. The church was being born. However, while simultaneously that was going on, there was evil plotting by the temple guards and Sadducees. People didn't quite understand the power and the holiness about this Holy Spirit. Ananias and Sapphira lied about the Holy Spirit, and they end up dying. Acts 5:4 and 5 says, "You weren't lying to us, but to God." As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. That is Holy Spirit power. The Spirit rose Jesus from the grave, and he put these two in a grave. And that Spirit is in you, and it's in me. Point two, Paul comes on the scene, and it's bad, and it's good. The temple leaders who were jealous of Jesus and killed him sought to snuff out the new church born out of the Holy Spirit post-earthly Jesus time. Enter Saul, a highly educated, knowledgeable of all temple rule enforcement, and a death watcher, doing the temple building and watching the stoning of the godly Stephen. Remember that? And he jailed many others following from this new upstart church, and it was born out of the work of the Holy Spirit. Temple warlords, as I call them, had wiped out other efforts, and their objective was no different with this new group. In Acts 8, 1 through 3, it says, Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. A great wave of prosecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers except the apostles were scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria. Some devout men came and buried Stephen with great mourning, but Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. So you get this. Jesus, just before he disappears until his second coming, tells them, I'm giving you power and the Holy Spirit. And it starts out, but then the forces of darkness and evilness begin to try to wipe it out. The church was under attack, the early church. And Paul was this guy who was going after them. Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. That's Acts 8. But Jesus says, nay, nay, and meets up with Saul en route to his next terror job, blinds him, scares him half to death, and turns him into the greatest missionary that has ever lived. In the years that follow, Saul became Paul and became a different person, a Christian, a Christ follower, a Christ evangelist. He visited or wrote letters or connected through others to nearly 60 towns and cities, presenting the resurrection of Christ, convincing fellow Jews that Jesus is the Messiah, and introducing Gentiles for the first time to this Christ, who was a savior for them, who died for them. In Colossians 3:11, Paul wrote, in this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. He also influenced the other disciples since Paul heard directly from Jesus, and that comes from Galatians 1:12, when he says, no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. And of course, Galatians was his first letter that he wrote, and so he established that right from the beginning. No one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. Now, of course, the disciples had that for 3 years, but they did not get it most of the time. And so Jesus relies on Paul to become the force. Now, Peter would get back in the game, and Timothy and a bunch of others would get into it, but Paul became the strong force for starting and growing the church in the very beginning. Because Paul not only got it, but he was intellectually sophisticated and mentally honest enough to see that Christ as a fulfillment of Jewish history and an incredible gift to Gentiles, Romans 12, 3 through 5. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Paul said these things, and he was just incredible. He wrote at least 7 letters. Some think it could be 14. 1 Corinthians letter was an early one, and the longest of all his letters. He wrote more about spiritual gifts than any other subject. So the question I have is, why do churches not give it that same attention? Why do the people who are listening to this podcast, why do you not give it that kind of importance? That's what I want to challenge you to do. You will enjoy it. You will benefit from it. Your life will be changed in a positive way. The church would be larger if people would grasp this. Their people would be happy and fulfilled, and God would be glorified as never before, reaping church benefits like never before. As for measuring a man or a human, Paul is great in God's kingdom. So the first point was Jesus put the Holy Spirit inside of us. Number two, Paul comes on the scene and starts changing everything. And number three, the church gets supercharged with spiritual gifts to operate a growing, energized, powerful, Holy Spirit-empowered church. Peter Wagner has passed on, but he wrote a book called Your Spiritual Gifts Can Help Your Church Grow. And in that, he wrote, "We have been living in a period of history which, if anything else, is characterized by rapid change." By the way, he was born in 1930, and he passed away in 2016. So he did get to see the first 16 years of this century. And it's interesting that he wrote, "We've been living in a period of history which, if anything else, is characterized by rapid change. Many enormously significant changes have shaken the world, the Christian community, and my own ministry since the day I wrote the book, Your Spiritual Gifts Can Help Your Church Grow." But one thing has not changed. God continues to say to the body of Christ worldwide that the ministry of the church must be placed in the hands of the people of God. And in order to bring this to pass, he continues to steer the church toward the biblical teaching on spiritual gifts as the essential foundation for the ministry of believers. This is directly related to known principles of church growth. One thing that I have learned over a career of studying and teaching on the health and growth of the church is that church growth carries a price tag. My friend, and this is good, this is an excellent quote. This is all from his book. "One thing that I have learned over a career of studying and teaching on the health and growth of the church is that church growth carries a price tag. My friend, Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church, when he was teaching with me in Fuller Seminary years ago, said it as well as anybody I've heard. For the church to grow, the pastor must give up the ministry, and the people must give up the leadership." To put it another way, smaller churches will become larger ones only if the pastor does the leading and the people do the ministry. If you have had much experience in traditional churches, you will recognize this as quite a radical thought. Again, I'm continuing on in what he said in his book. "It is my expectation that this book will help that to happen. I can say this with considerable assurances because feedback I have received over the past 25 years has indicated that these ideas about spiritual gifts actually work in practice. By far, I have received more sustained, positive response to this book than any of the other books I have written to date." So his book, you can find it on spiritualgiftspodcast.com/library. You can find his book. His name again is C. Peter Wagner. And his book is Your Spiritual Gifts Can Help Your Church Grow. I feel like God has showed me just a number of individuals, again, who've written books about spiritual gifts. What is interesting so far is that almost every single person who wrote a book wrote it from a specific viewpoint, and none of them are the same. That only can be from God. When he passed away, Charisma News wrote basically what amounted to an obituary, and this is what they had to say about him. "We need a 21st century church that's based on all the biblical principles," Wagner told Ministry Today magazine. "Every time God has moved in the world through history, through the early church, through the Constantine time, through the Roman Empire, through the British colonization to our present day, Every time he has always provided new wineskins. What we need to be tuned into is the new wineskins. Spiritual gifts in our culture is a new wineskin. It's been there from the beginning, as we've talked about today. But it's not common in the local church. Everyone who hears this, I'm asking you to consider this. Pray to our great God and ask what your part is in making this message of the new wineskin and bringing it to this country. A second person I want to bring to your attention is a guy named Ray C. Steadman. And he wrote a book called Body Life, the book that inspired a return to the church's real meaning and mission. That too is found at the website, spiritualgiftspodcast.com/library. You will see all these books. If God is gripping your heart, you can click on the book. It'll take you out where you can buy it. This is what Billy Graham said this about the book, Body Life, the book that inspired a return to the church's real meaning and mission. Billy Graham wrote, "It depends, of course, on how one defines the church. In Body Life, Ray Steadman uses the leverage of the word itself to bring us back to the church's real meaning and mission. With strong, convincing argument, he points to the weaknesses within the institutional church and clearly reminds us of the strength inherent in Christ's body, the true church." Then the publisher of the book also had a publisher note, and this is what they wrote. "The church must become the church God intended it to be. We must become the kind of Christians God intended us to be. We must learn again to practice deep koinonia fellowship, carrying one another's burdens, sharing one another's hurts, confessing to one another, rejoicing with one another, encouraging one another, celebrating the diversity of our gifts and abilities while maintaining the unity of the Spirit." After he passed away, people wrote one of the chapters of the book, and that basically pulled together six biblical patterns of his ministry. And here I'm going to provide you the first three. I encourage you to buy the book. And these were three biblical patterns that he called a manifest life. And we encourage you to purchase the book to learn the full plan. But number one was a pervasive spirit of love and unity. That's what his church was founded on, and that's what God blessed his church over a lot of years, and that was the key to his church. Number two, celebration of spiritual gifts. And number three, a horizontal church structure rather than a vertical one. In chapter one, it says this, "This book is about the church, not the church as it as often is, but the church as it originally was, the church as it can be, and yes, the church as it must be again." The third book I want to bring to your attention is one by Don Cousins, and he wrote a book called Experiencing Leadership. And so again, as I mentioned, everybody has a different angle on this. Don Cousins' angle is on the leaders of the church. And so if you're a leader in your church, or you have a relationship with somebody who's a leader in your church, spread this to them. Encourage them to come to the website, spiritualgifts.com/library, and there you will find Don's book called Experiencing Leadership, Letting Go of Leadership Heresies. And he says in the book, "The body of Christ works as God intends only when every believer sees himself or herself as a contributor, not a consumer." And he says this is important. Nowhere in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, that's the primary teaching about spiritual gifts. There's other places, but that's the primary of Paul. Nowhere in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, or 14 is the word leadership even mentioned. Neither is it found in Ephesians 4 or 1 Peter 4. Other key passages on spiritual gifts. In fact, in the primary passages on the gifts, the only mention of leadership is Romans 12:8, which exhorts he who leads to do so with diligence. If the spiritual gift of leadership were as indispensable as some would have us believe, then the apostles would have us place more emphasis on it than those five words, he who leads, with diligence. Truth is, in reading the passage on spiritual gifts, we find that the writers barely mention the gift of leadership. It's about the congregation being the ministers. The person on the stage up front, we call pastor, is the leader of it. And that's why there's a lot of pressure on pastors to have the gift of leadership. Many do not. They have other important gifts. But we need leaders leading our church. We need leaders leading Christians in this nation. And that's what we want to do in coming months, is to begin to offer to people who are listening to this podcast the ability to take some classes where you can discover within yourself what gifts God has given you. Thank you for this time that we've had today. Again, be sure to go to that website. It'll be in the notes again. Would you please tell 5, 10, 15, 100, 1,000 people about this podcast? Do you see it as important as I see it? God pricked my heart long ago. He's pricked a number of other people around the country. Let God prick your heart that this is an important thing. Lord God, we give you thanks for this time today, for these words that you have provided from these men as well as from the word that of the Bible. Lord, I pray for every listener here that you would do a spiritual work that would cause them to see you in them doing special things, giving them special abilities to do those things for your glory and for your honor and for helping people who do not know you see you through them. Lord God, we give you thanks for your forgiveness. We give you thanks for your mercy. We give you thanks for your grace to us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the A Spiritual Gift History Lesson. If Jesus is your Lord, you have the powerful Holy Spirit in you. Congratulations. Next time, we will talk about the church's missing link, which you are part of the solution. I hope you make it a point to tune in. If you ever miss a broadcast, you can always listen online. Our website is spiritualgiftspodcast.com. There, you can stream the program or download the MP3 for free. Again, that is spiritualgiftspodcast.com. Thank you for emailing this podcast to 5 to 10 family, friends, and church acquaintances who you think will enjoy it. Let us see if God will use you and me to change the world. Thanks for listening.